Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and really pleased to have with us today Matt Frank, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, our guest today to talk about natural resource issues in Wisconsin. I'm certainly inviting your questions and comments as we move along today. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Contact us, and we'll be glad to get you on and get you participating here. Secretary Frank, welcome.
Good morning, Larry.
Nice to have you with us. Lots of things we can talk about. What's on your agenda right now? What are things that are rolling around in your mind a little bit?
Well, this month we hope to have Congress pass the Great Lakes Compact, yeah. And that has been a work in progress for a long time. It took about 5 years of negotiations between the Midwest governors, and Governor Doyle played a lead role in that. And, of course, over the last couple of years, it's been through the Wisconsin legislature, and yeah. We successfully got it through the Wisconsin legislature in May. And looking back on this, that was really a key moment, I think, Wisconsin yeah. passing the compact, because there were a number of states that had not passed it yet. And once we passed it, everybody else started to fall in place. Nobody wanted to be the one to the last to pass the compact. So we were able to get that done with the legislature. And then we're off to Congress. Governor, I know, spent some time out there this summer. And it's already passed the U.S. Senate. We got a lot of help from our congressional delegation, Senator Feingold and others. And now it's just a matter of getting it scheduled in the House. But we're very optimistic that it'll be ratified by Congress this month.
That's kind of a banner event, I think.
Well, it really is. It's historic, and it's a huge step forward for us. You know, the Great Lakes are an incredible water resource. It's about 90% of the world's freshwater resource. We can't take it for granted. And I think the states coming together as they have to agree to jointly manage this water resource is really significant. And I think it's going to be one of those environmental achievements that I think Wisconsin will be proud of, that will rank up there with a number of the other things that we've been leaders in over the decades.
Over the time. You know, sort of a bad thing for us here in the state has been VHS that continues to menace our fish populations. What's the status of that right now?
Well, we did discover VHS last year. We responded aggressively to it. We worked with our Natural Resources Board, put some rules in place. We've been doing a lot of outreach and education. We're working with our boaters and our fishermen and local communities to make sure that we're not inadvertently transferring fish or minnows yeah. with VHS from one body of water to another. Where we are is that last year in the spring, it was discovered in Lake Winnebago, Lake Butamore. It's been in Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say at this point, of course, this is kind of a knock on wood sort of yeah. statement, that it is not. We have not found it in any other Wisconsin waters this year. We did see another outbreak in Lake Michigan. We were not really surprised by that, given the fact that it had been there earlier.
Already, yeah.
But we are working very hard, whether it's VHS or other invasive species, to do everything we can to prevent the spread of invasives and fish diseases like VHS.
Well, you know what? Every one of our lines is filled. So lots of people want to talk with you. And Diane in Madison is up first. Diane?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's an honor to speak to you. I was wondering, I was watching last night and heard about Governor Palin aerial hunting wolves in Alaska. I'd like to get an opinion on that type of hunting and also know if there's anything similar taking place in Wisconsin with wolves or any other type of animal.
Sure.
Well, every state has its own game laws, and while I'm familiar with Wisconsin's game laws, I'm not as familiar with Alaska's, obviously. We don't have aerial hunting in Wisconsin, we have a variety of game animals here. In terms of wolves, right now, I guess everybody is familiar with the wolf story in Wisconsin,
yeah.
but wolves migrated here several decades ago. That population has been slowly growing. At one point, they were on the threatened list, they've now been delisted. And I think that's a credit to the management efforts that we've had. And of course, now it's been about 10 years since we did a full management plan on wolves. We're working on that right now. We had an informational item for the Natural Resources Board in August, and we're planning to work over the next 8 or 9 months on our the future of wolf management in Wisconsin. We're going to be looking at things like how are they doing in terms of population. They had been growing. There was a bit of a plateau in the last year. Our initial numbers showed that the population did not grow over the last year. We're also going to be looking at issues like wolf depredation, when wolves kill livestock, and we have a program that deals with that sort of thing. But it's an important issue, and it's something that we're going to be working on quite a good deal in the next 9 months.
Safe to say that aerial hunting of wolves or anything else is probably not going to occur in Wisconsin.
I would say that that is a likely bet. It's interesting. Wisconsin, we have our hunting and fishing and trapping tradition is long and deep in this state, and there are certain things that I think are part of the tradition. I just don't see that ever probably happening here.
Thanks for calling, Diane. Appreciate it. Jason in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. I'm wondering about bag limits on waterfowl and how they're established and who sets them, because over the last few years, for example, canvas bags have gone from you can't take any to one per day per for a drake, to last year was 2, and now this year's 0 again. And I'm wondering what the logic is, and why not try to have it be more consistent to control the population, if that's the actual goal, rather than, giving them 2 a year, 1 a year, none a year. Why not just keep it at a consistent number, and mm-hmm. Where are the numbers from, and who makes that decision? And I will
All right.
Take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Jason.
That's a really good question, and the fact is it's a rather complex process for setting bag limits for waterfowl. The reason is that unlike some other game animals that we have in Wisconsin where the DNR works on this within the state, when it comes to waterfowl, because they are a migratory bird, they're moving from Canada into Wisconsin and other Midwestern states, and there's organization of 11 states and a couple of Canadian provinces called the Upper Mississippi Flyway Council that looks at these issues and looks at, ultimately, we're all interested in the same thing, and that's the long-term sustainability of our waterfowl population. It's important for hunting, and it's also important, I think, for the beauty and the quality of life that we have in Wisconsin and other states. So what happens is, the council looks at these issues. In addition, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has jurisdiction because mm-hmm. Congress, a number of years ago, gave them the overall authority for the framework. And U.S. Fish and Wildlife sets the ultimate target. So we have input into that process. Now, most of the time, that process works pretty well. We have a concern with the limits that have been set this last year or for the upcoming season. The caller mentioned canvasback. Another area that we were concerned about was scops. And as a matter of fact, I've raised those concerns with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And I don't know if they're going to make a change, but they are deliberating on that right now. And, of course, if they're going to change it, they're going to have to do it pretty soon because the season is upon us. But I hope that they will listen to the concerns that we raised. We believe that we could have a greater limit on scops, we've raised that with them, and we've had our biologists look at it. We don't believe we're being less conservative with the resource than the federal agency, so we hope that we can get that resolved. But in the end, it's a collaborative process, and there's a lot of parties involved. And our goals are to make sure that we have a sustainable resource that is there to be there for many generations to come, and that Wisconsin's voice is heard as these limits are set.
And there's sort of a similar process, I'm pretty sure, with the Canada geese. If I'm not mistaken, it's sort of a federal and state.
Any migratory game bird that is going to be traveling across state lines or international lines, there is a rather, as I said, it's a complicated process. A lot of states involved, Canadian provinces, and, of course, our own federal government.
Let's go to Ann in Madison next. Ann, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. I was quite concerned about 5 years ago when the so-called Jobs Creation Act was passed with Governor Doyle's embrace. I thought it bore the same relation to jobs as the Clear Skies Initiative bears to unpolluted skies. But two examples that I think are what happened when the Jobs Creation Act was passed were, and I heard this from a DNR employee, first, yearly air pollution inspections of factories in Wisconsin are no longer going to be conducted. Now they will be only every 5 years. And second, all permit changes and even minor actions taken to enforce air pollution regulations now have to be signed personally by Governor Doyle. And I would like to know first, you know, where those new provisions come from. Are they contained in the so-called Jobs Creation Act? Or, you know, why was this kind of action taken? There are so many environmental concerns, and they're getting, you know, greater every day.
All right. Thanks for calling, Ann. Secretary Frank?
Well, I would first distinguish what we're doing in here in Wisconsin from the Bush administration's Clean Skies Initiative. I don't subscribe to a number of things that the Bush administration has done in the environmental area. But in terms of the Jobs Creation Act, we have, you know, looked at this. We have worked with the governor and both houses of the legislature and with our own staff to look at how we regulate in Wisconsin. And the fact is, we need to make sure, and I've always said this, and the governor has said this, that we need to maintain Wisconsin's high environmental standards. This is a beautiful state. We have led the country in so many ways over the years in environmental protection, and we don't want to do anything to lessen those standards. As a matter of fact, I can give you an example of that. We're moving ahead with a very strong mercury multi-pollutant reduction rule that is going to reduce mercury emissions by 90% in this state from our power plants. It's going to reduce sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide emissions from our plants that lead to ozone and particulate matter, which is a problem for people with respiratory disease. I want to illustrate those as examples of how we are being very strong to protect Wisconsin's environment and even increase and improve our standards. Now, having said that, we also realize that as a governmental agency, we need to look at how we can improve our internal process to make sure that we're doing our job well in regulating. You know, businesses in this state have an important role to play. They provide jobs. They help our economy grow. We need a good, strong economy. And I believe that those two things, environmental protection and strong economy, are not incompatible. So we've done things to make our agency more predictable and consistent in working with businesses. I think we've done all that without lessening our standards. In terms of specifics like inspections, I can tell you that our philosophy on this is if we're working with a company that has stepped up to the plate and has made a strong environmental commitment, they still have to file reports with the DNR, and we have looked for ways to reduce the paperwork and the regulatory burden if we know we've got a good player. On the other hand, if we've got somebody who's not following the environmental laws, we will take aggressive enforcement action against them. And the second part of your caller's question was, do those kind of cases have to go to the governor? The answer is no. We have an internal enforcement process where we investigate the case. Ultimately, those referrals come to me. And then as secretary, I sign off of those and send those to the Attorney General's office for action. So we have not changed that. We still are aggressive in enforcing our laws. But I do believe there's a lot of room to continue to improve how the DNR as a governmental agency works with private business in this state. And I think we want to do as much of that as in partnership and work with companies that are committed to protecting the environment.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Ann. I'll take some more calls. By the way, you can join us at 800-642-1234. And Ellen in Bailey's Harbor is up next. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for answering the call. I have a question. I know that a few years ago you started the Clean Boats, Clean Water Initiative, or vice versa, Clean Water, Clean Boats. Was there, and I've been to attended your programs, and there was never any mention about where they should, you know, dumping garbage in the lakes. This morning I was over there, and I have OCD when it comes to picking stuff up off the shoreline.
Yep.
And I got four plastic bags that were washed up on the shore, which obviously have been dumped by boaters because we haven't had any people at the beach since August because of school and everything else. And I was just wondering, I know that there's a push for to urge individuals to use bring reusable bags to the stores with them, but obviously a lot of people are not doing it yet, but I wondered if there was any way that you could include that in your Clean Boats program.
Well, that is a good point, and I, you know, the fact is I think we have, you know, the vast majority of people who use our lakes don't throw plastic bags mm-hmm. overboard, and all it takes is a few people to do that. We need to make sure that we have education and enforcement as part of our programs. I can tell you that the Clean Boat program, we've really expanded our view of the lakes beyond the littering question. As important as that is, we've really been focusing as well on invasive species. We want to work with lake associations and lake owners and boaters and anglers and to make sure that we are not inadvertently spreading invasive species on our lakes as well. And I got to tell you, the response of citizens of Wisconsin to invasive species is something to see.
Very good.
It's very good. I've been up in northern Wisconsin a number of times this summer, meeting with a number of groups that are really involved in these efforts. A lot of volunteers participate. Our staff is very engaged. We got 10 new positions in the last budget to help with this effort to keep aquatic invasives out of our lakes. But we have to look at this completely. We want our lake. We have beautiful lakes in this state. They are a key part of the quality of life that so many people can enjoy. And whether it's, you know, a plastic bag in the lake or an invasive species that's transmitted from one lake to another, we really want to work with people to make sure we keep our lakes clean.
And thanks, Ellen, very much for calling. Our guest today, Matt Frank, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking natural resource issues with Matt Frank, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Larry Mueller here. Email us at talk@wpr.org or call us at 800-642-1234. And let's turn to Louie in Cumberland next. Hi, Louie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really don't have a question. I just wanted to compliment the DNR on the nice display they did at the Barron County Fair where I live on fur bearer management and trapping and the efforts and education they do for fur bearer management and responsible trapping through trappers education. I'm a trapper myself and a member of the Wisconsin Trappers Association, and it's nice to see the DNR doing those things and make more people recognize that it is a necessary subject and trapping is a viable sport.
Well, thank you. And trapping has been a longstanding part of a great Wisconsin tradition, and appreciate your comments about our staff being at the fair. You know, one of the things that we feel very strongly about is that we want to get out and reach the public however we can. So whether it's the Barron County Fair or other county fairs, or I know we have a strong presence at the state fair.
Great
exhibit. If you ever get a chance, if any folks, you know, you go to the Wisconsin State Fair, you're looking for a nice break in the day, I really highly recommend going to the DNR exhibit there. But it's a great opportunity, I think, to reach out to people, to let people know about these great natural resources that really belong to everybody in the state and our great traditions. And most importantly, it's a great way to reach kids. And I think as we look at our natural resources in this great state that we've inherited, it's important that we let our kids know about these great resources, so in the future they not only can enjoy them, but they also can be good stewards of our resources.
Absolutely. Thanks, Louie, for calling. Appreciate it. And we'll turn to Alex in Park Falls next. Alex, hi to you.
Hello. Thank you, Secretary. Thank you for taking my call. I want to thank you folks for doing a wonderful job at the DNR. But I do have a couple of questions concerning bear licensure. I'm currently a resident of Wisconsin for the last 30-some years, and I've taken up archery about 10 years ago, and I still have yet to get an archery bear license. And we have a lot of out-of-state bear and bird hunters come to our area. They bring a lot of money up to our area, yet our own residents are having a difficult time getting certain licensures. So I wonder what the process is to determine who gets what license and at what time.
Yeah, that's probably the longest wait that anybody has for a license in Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is it's a long process. But, you know, in the big picture, what's happening with bear right now is that, you know, we issue several thousand licenses a year. I don't have the exact number right in front of me. And it's ultimately tied back to where we think the bear population is. We want to make sure that we have a sustainable population. And where we need public harvest, that we get those permits out to our hunters so that they can have that experience. What we've noticed, we've been actually doing some research about our bear population estimates, and we've been working with the university on that. And we, as your caller may probably knows, and a lot of our bear hunters know who have been following this, we've looked at the our population models, and it looks like we've been very potentially underestimating the bear population, that we can't say that conclusively. We need about one more year of study on this two-year study. But if it goes in the direction we think it's going to end up, that there will be a need to harvest some additional bear in the future, and that will increase the number of permits that are out there. The fact is, there is a huge demand. I appreciate the caller's frustration, but there is a huge demand for bear permits and other types of hunting in Wisconsin, and it takes a while. But I think you'll see, not that it's going to change dramatically, but I think we are going to see more permits out there, certainly this fall, and then in years to come. Partly because I think, you know, we've been managing the bear population, and it has increased, and those opportunities will be there.
And I think Alex made some reference to out-of-state licenses. Is there some sort of percentage of out-of-state, in-state, or is all licenses just handled according to how many times you've applied?
Well, I think we give preference. Obviously, we would like to see Wisconsin hunters have first crack, and I'll have to be candid with you. I'm not exactly sure the details of how that works, but you know, it's always a fine balance. We want to make sure that we're providing. I always think our first responsibility at the DNR is we're here to serve the citizens of Wisconsin. So one of the ways we do that is making sure that we run good, strong permit programs for hunting programs and so forth, license programs. So we need to do that. We also, having said that, this is we are a destination state for hunters and for fishing. Having those hunters and fishermen come into our state is also important because they also, when they come here, spend money, and that's good for the economy. You know, our hunting and fishing together are about a $4 billion industry in Wisconsin. And so we need to have the right balance, make sure that we're getting plenty of opportunities out there for our Wisconsin hunters, but that also, we do want people to come here to Wisconsin.
Sure. Thanks again, Alex, for calling. And let's take another call. Corey is up next in Cudahy, so let's go there. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Larry. Hello, Mr. Secretary.
Hello.
Hi. My question is regarding the regulations for muzzle loading with a magnified scope. I understand that, you'd like to try to keep that as original as possible, but in regards to being very proficient at dispatching game or whatever, you're only given one shot, one opportunity. What's the rationale behind whether it's a fixed power or a magnified power scope? I mean, you only are going to get one shot at that game regardless. Why wouldn't they just open that up to having you use either or?
Well, I can tell you that the way those decisions get made is it's ultimately not just the DNR making that decision. That question, and I appreciate the caller's perspective on it, has been discussed and debated quite a bit. We have the Conservation Congress in Wisconsin, which is a very unique organization in all the states. I think we're very lucky to have it in that it's a organization at the grassroots level that's empowered by the legislature to gather input from hunters and any member of the community who wants to participate about questions just like this. And this is a question that has come up in the past. And ultimately, before we make decisions on this, if we're going to change rules and regulations, we get the input of the Congress and others as part of that. And then ultimately, of course, the Natural Resources Board makes a decision because it means ultimately a rule change. So ultimately, this question needs to, you know, if we're going to make a change in this area, we'd need to see, you know, strong support from the Congress and the hunting community to make that change. And, I'm sure there are many hunters out there who have your caller's perspective, and there may be other hunters out there who feel strongly in the other direction. So we try to sort through all that and offer hunting opportunities after we get advice from the public.
All right. Thanks again for calling. Audrey in Green Bay is up next. Hi, Audrey.
Hi. I am calling in regard to something that the screener thought this gentleman may not be able to respond to. One of the ways that people are trying to conserve on their fuel bills is by building these outside furnaces. I call it a furnace. I don't know what it is. It's a tin building. It looks like a fishing shanty about that size.
Yeah.
And they burn wood. But when they burn the wood, all the refuse of the stuff goes up the chimney, which sometimes can create breathing problems. And I wonder if there's going to, I mean, I don't want to discourage people, but if it's going to be something that's going to affect our health, I think it's something that should be watched. Am I asking the wrong person?
You want to take a crack at that?
Absolutely. DNR, we've been very active on working to strengthen our outdoor burning laws so that we're not putting particulate matter into the atmosphere that does affect our air quality. So it is in the caller's question, there is a legitimate public health issue here, and I think that's important. I think this fits into the larger picture, though, of where we're going in the state with clean and renewable energy. We want to encourage non-fossil fuel use, or not oil and coal and those kind of fuels. Wood has great potential in this state, but we also want to make sure as we use wood that we're doing it in a way that we're protecting the environment. Mm-hmm. Outdoor shacks where if you're burning a lot of wood and a lot of it's going up the chimney, we'd have a concern about that. But there also, the technology has been developing where there are some great wood stoves out there and some other wood heating devices now that are very environmentally friendly, and where you can take advantage of burning wood and not using as much of the other kind of fuel that's more costly.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Audrey. And Bob in Minocqua, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a slightly different question than what's been talked about so far. We were over berry picking along Highway 47. This is national forest land, or national state forest land, Northern Highland American Legion. There's some enormous power lines, those really tall things over there, and there's always been a lot of berries over there. It was a decent raspberry crop, and it was developing into a huge blackberry crop. And we were over there, and we just happened to run up on Asplund over there, bulk spraying or broadcast spraying with enormous equipment, and they told us to stop, go up ahead where we haven't been yet, and we did that. And I started to think, now, this is trampled down by bears and other animals, and by broadcast spraying, they're killing everything. There isn't anything there taller than my chest. And these towers are, 100 feet tall, something like that. And it upset me greatly. And I called Steve Peterson in Woodruff at the office there, and he says there's nothing they can do about that. And I question that because a number of years ago, the same thing was going on. I called the DNR, and several other people had too, as I understand it. And they told them to stop and go out and spot spray those things that they thought were going to be big and tall and interfere with the power lines, which they did. And it really disturbs me that this is Wisconsin state property, and you can't control what goes on it in this regard. And I'm really worried about the birds and the bears and so on. This is one of their primary sources of food in the fall.
Yeah, okay. Secretary Frank, what do you think?
Well, I think, I'll have to be honest, I'm not familiar with that particular situation that your callers raised, but, we have transmission lines in the state, throughout the state, and we work with our power companies in terms of how that land is managed. Overall, I think it's been a very good relationship, and the power companies do want to work with us. Now, your caller is raising an issue that, given the facts that he's raised, it sounds to me is something like we should take a look at, and I'll follow up with my staff on that and see if there's some way that we can address that. It may be we have to look at how much flexibility we have there, and whether there's a way that we could. I think in general what we're trying to do in some of these areas is control invasive species.
Yeah.
We talked about aquatic invasives earlier. We have also terrestrial invasives, and they're in our forests and power lines. Where we've disturbed the nature, they are more vulnerable to getting invasives. So it's always a balance. You want to make sure you're controlling the invasives. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate your caller's point that we don't want to be hurting wildlife or affecting. Other native plants, including berry plants that grow. It's an interesting question. I'll follow up with staff on that.
All right, thanks, Bob. And let's see, JJ in Oconomowoc, I believe, is up next. So let's go there. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, hello? Go ahead. What can we do for you?
I recently heard on NPR News that the DNR was planning on purchasing the Rainbow Springs Golf Course in Muquanago, and I was wondering what plans the DNR had for, what they plan to do exactly with that land and what kind of access would be allowed to the river and to the, I believe, thousands of acres that they have along Muquanago River there.
Okay.
Well, we are very excited by the Rainbow Springs purchase. This is some property in southeast Wisconsin that we've had our eye on for some time, and there have been a number of points in the last few years where we've come close to acquiring it, but we were able finally to do that, and we're looking to have a formal dedication of that hopefully sometime this fall. Yeah, Rainbow Springs is 1,000 acres of property. It's going to help us protect additional land in the Muquanago watershed. There is a golf course on part of the property, but I just want to assure all our callers here today, all your listeners, that we're not going to be operating it as a golf course. We want to restore this area. There's wetlands in here. There's prairie. There's rich wildlife. We want to see good, strong public access. There will be hunting and fishing opportunities, bird watching opportunities, hiking. A lot of things. We are very excited. It's one of the largest acquisitions that we've been able to do in the southeastern part of the state for some time. And, one of the things we're trying to do is make sure that we have natural areas available to our citizens close to where they live. It's great to be able to, if you're from the southern part of the state, go to northern Wisconsin. It's an absolutely beautiful part of the state. But we also need areas near where people live here in the southern part of the state. And I think Rainbow Springs is going to be a real jewel that we add to state lands that people are going to enjoy for a long time.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Sarah in Delafield, we're on to you now. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning. Say, I'm calling about the youth deer hunt that's coming up in the middle of October and just wondering what the guidelines are for that hunt and how my son would go about getting his license.
Well, what you could do is I'd recommend going to our website or our 800 number. I don't know if I have the 800 number here with me. Perhaps we can get Larry to read that. But you can get all the information you need about our regulations. We have a call center that's open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week. And a lot of people are not aware of that, but you can call there, talk to a person who will give you all the information. Also, you can go to our website and get that information as well. But Let me just also say that I'm glad to hear that the caller's family is participating in the youth hunt. We think it's a great way to get youth involved in our outdoor heritage, expose kids to the great outdoors, and again, as I said earlier, we feel it's very strongly that we get our youth involved in the outdoors in any number of ways, and I think the youth hunt is a great way to do that.
So I thank you very much. So take a look at the. I don't have that 800 number. Maybe Jim's got it. We'll try and find it. But if you can go to the website, you're going to get that information.
I just have it. I'm not real good at remembering these things, but I keep this in my wallet. So our toll free number is 1-888-936-7463. And our online, you can find us at dnr.wi.gov contact.
So it's 888-936-7463.
Yes.
And that's great that it's open 7 days a week.
7 days, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah. Randy in Wyawega, it's your turn. Hi, Randy.
Hi. I just have a question to ask. Back in the 70s, the DNR came into Wauwega and they drained their lake.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then after they drained their lake, I mean, this lake was really nice. I mean, you could go swimming in it, you could go fishing in it, you could go boating in it. Everybody went water skiing and stuff. But then afterwards, after they drained it, it started to become a weed bed. Okay, now, Wauwega has been trying to get the DNR to do stuff about this forever, since the 70s. And the DNR just keeps brushing them off, basically. And it's getting to the point where right now there's so many weeds. I mean, this used to be a really nice lake, and there's so many weeds in there right now that you can practically walk across the lake.
Well, what do you think? The lake in Wauwega?
Well, we got a couple issues, I think, in general, and that is invasive species that I talked about before. One thing I'd want to know is are they native plants in the lake, or are they invasives? But there's a bigger issue here, too, and that is as we look at improving whether it's Lake Wauwega or other water quality in lakes around the state, I think one of our biggest challenges right now in terms of the environment is non-point pollution. We've made a lot of progress in the last 30 or 40 years to control point pollution. That's the pollution that comes out of the end of a pipe of a factory or municipality, a treatment center, facility. But non-point is really the great frontier, and I think what you're seeing in lakes, again, I haven't looked at Lake Wauwega specifically, but you are seeing the effect of nutrient loading of phosphorus going into the lake and encouraging weed growth, and that degrades water quality. And this is due to a number of things. Could be stormwater. We've had, this last June we had a lot of flooding. Yeah. That's part of it. And then also agricultural lands. Agriculture is an important part of Wisconsin's economy. We want to have a strong agricultural sector, but we also need to work with our farmers on this. And we actually have gotten more resources. The governor's put more money into the budget for us to work with the agricultural community on non-point pollution. And our goal is not just to help with the Lake Wauwegas, but all of Wisconsin Lake, to really make sure that we're doing what we need to do to make sure they're clean.
Well, I thank you, Randy, for your call. And Secretary Frank, thank you so much for being with us. Boy, the time really flew. I hope you can come back and do this again.
Well, thank you, Larry. I enjoyed it and appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I'd love to come back.
Well, a pleasure to have you here, and we'll get you back. And that 800 number again was 1-888-936-7463. Matt Frank, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, kind of taking a look at the health of our natural resources here in the state. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the health of our people here in the state. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.